the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
We're moving to GAA now. Michael Verney of the Irish Independent is with us. Michael, good morning to you. How are you?
Ger, how are you?
I'm good. Tommy Rooney's team were beaten last night in the championship, and he thinks winning a club championship in front of closed doors is pointless anyway. That's his thoughts this morning on it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's pointless, but it definitely kind of rips a bit of the heart out of it. Sure, half of it is meeting your parents after a win, lose or draw, meeting your friends after, everything that comes with it. After the initial maybe 2 or 3 minutes of lads jumping on top of each other, teams and, you know, boys in the panel and all that kind of thing, and the manager and everything, that's everything that comes with it. So it's definitely, like, Ballygunner won 7 in a row yesterday. They fairly celebrated it fairly properly on the field. Mount Leinster won in Carlow yesterday as well. But, like, what happens then after? You know, we all know that the couple of days usually after a county final, what that's like. Yeah. Everyone together, be it music, food, everything together. It'd be strange winning the county final. I personally still take it, and I'm sure Tommy probably has sour grapes because Meath Hill are out of the championship. I don't think he'd mind if Meath Hill were still in the championship. I still think he'd take it, but he's probably going to cling to that given the fact that they're out of it now.
I think a lot of people around the country are waking up going, I didn't want to win it anyway, sure, there's no point. I do think though, like, it'll be great to see a team who hasn't won it for a long time who ends a famine to see how they celebrate. Obviously, congratulations to Ballygunner. It's old rope for them at this stage.
Yeah, they were brilliant yesterday. They're a really well-oiled machine, really slick. It's you look through their squad, you look through their style of play and how well drilled it is, and they're, you know, they'd be a good county side. The only disappointing thing for them is, like, even Desi Hutchison, obviously the former professional footballer who's like their main forward now, he said afterwards, and this is the case for them, and I'm sure it's the case for Ballyhale and Cara Finn and a few more, that, you know, their goal at the start of the season was realistically not a county title. It was a provincial title or probably an All-Ireland title. So probably a bit anticlimactic for a big super club like that just to win the county title and not to have anything else to look forward to, because they would have been aiming a lot higher.
Yeah, but yeah, they need to do a bit better after. Like, this is an advantage or an opportunity for a club like that to go on to the next level, and they have been relatively unsuccessful at provincial level.
Yeah, they beat Napiershead kind of maybe a small bit surprisingly in a Munster final 2 years ago. Were then beaten by Ballyhale in an All-Ireland semi-final, and they would have had a good few regrets about that. They were beaten in a Munster final last year, obviously, by Boris Lee as well. So they'd be looking to get to the next level. And, like, it's funny, like, you're waiting another year then to get a go at that. I'm not saying they will, but maybe get caught in your county next year. And then you're waiting another year to try and get on. So it's for a big club like that who are always eyeing provincial silverware or All-Ireland silverware, it must be difficult enough for them, even though they celebrated it like it was an All-Ireland title yesterday, in fairness to them, but they would be aiming an awful lot higher than that.
Desi Hutchinson's obviously been shooting the lights out at club level. Just how good is he? Is he someone you're expecting to make an impact, presuming championship starts with Waterford?
Yeah, he's in a nice position now, actually, because he went in with Waterford. He went in with Waterford on the back of the provincial campaign with Ballygunner last year, and he was one of their better players. Found the going maybe a small bit tough in the league. Played an hour in a couple of games and was taken off. And it's not saying his confidence was down, but he got to go back with the club. He got to play the whole way through the summer, get his confidence back up. He shot 2-8 in the county semi final. He shot 4 points yesterday. And he's coming in again with a kind of a nice vein of form, nice vein of confidence coming into the county again. It's an interesting one. He's all speed. A summer All-Ireland and a summer Munster campaign would probably suit him a bit better, but he has done it in the winter before. He did it last year, in fairness. He definitely has that kind of killer instinct. And again, if he gets the ball in his hand, the pace that he has, and he had a couple of lovely flicks yesterday into the hand as well. He's like a lad who never stopped, basically, as well. He's a lovely player. And Waterford needs someone like that, someone who's going to kind of put the head down and go for goal, probably missing a player like that. So he definitely would help them out an awful lot. Yeah, I saw Liam Cattle was at the game yesterday. I'm sure he's been well on his radar now at this stage. But yeah, he could definitely make a massive impact.
Let's talk curling for a couple of minutes. The Kilkenny Championship has seen some outrageous scoring from individuals. I think TJ, Richie Hogan and somebody else had 210 from play?
John Walsh from Mullinavat had 213. I think it was 208 from play, yeah. Crazy scores both over the weekend, realistically, yeah.
because of the quality of the pitches? I mean, the weather, was the weather good long enough over the week? It was, actually. It was fine over the weekend. So, but the pitch would have been pretty heavy from the incredible amount of rain that we've had for the last while. So it's not like it's just the dry sod is the answer here, is it?
No, no, you would have thought so, that the pitch would still be heavy, but the three players involved, John Walsh scored 2-5 in an All-Ireland minor final a couple of years ago. Richie Hogan, he got 7 or 8 from play. TJ Reid got 116, I think it was 1-9 from play. So I think it's probably more to do with the players involved here as well. And plus, I've kind of been saying it for a good while, this litter is an awful lot lighter. The likes of TJ can stroke over points from 100 yards at his ease. Richie Hogan, I'm sure, could do the same as well. TJ's Ballyhale put up 434 at the weekend, which is an outrageous score when you put it down on paper, and you think when the ball goes over the bar, there's probably going to be 15 or 20 seconds of a lag before the ball comes back out. And they scored 38 times to 8 times. Their opposition, the Roar and the Stig, were missing an awful lot now. They were missing Richie Lahey, Joe Ling, Kieran Joyce, and even a couple of more lads, and they're gone into a relegation semi-final, and they'd probably be happier to try and have some of those lads back for that. They probably knew it was going to be unrealistic. Richie Hogan's Dainsforth were very, very unlucky. They pushed Mullin of Atten, and they would have been big underdogs going into that game. They pushed them really close, and it looks like he's coming into the county campaign as well, maybe a bit fitter than he was last year. He obviously had knee trouble and a few different things last year. But John Walsh, obviously, on the other side then as well, he got 2-13, and Mullin of Atten pulled away in extra time. And Tommy Walsh's Tullerone, actually, they pushed Erin's own Castle Comer very, very close, really tight game. But Castle Comer, kind of led by the likes of Kieran Wallace and Conor Delaney and Conor Fogarty, who we know from Kilkenny, they just edged it. And yeah, it's going to be interesting. It looks like Ballyhale are kind of coming with a run again. Did the same as they did the last couple of years, were beaten in a couple of early games, and they're just starting to gather momentum up. And once they get momentum up, they're going to be a very, very hard stop. Again, though, that's the same. They're the same as Carrafin or Ballygunner. They should be going for an All Ireland three in a row.
Yeah.
And it's different just to be going for a county title.
Yeah, I want to talk about that, right? Because Joe made an interesting point on the news round last week, where sometimes you've got to be careful what you wish for. The split season, we're hurtling towards it now. It seems like there's an unstoppable momentum behind it. But there is a price to be paid for that, and that is to give up the wall-to-wall coverage and the engagement with the casual sports fan for the peak summer months when the weather's at its best and everybody wants to see some GAA, and suddenly it'll be club matches. I wonder if actually over a period of time the coverage will catch up with these matches, and we'll begin to think of them in terms of All-Irelands, that actually we'll be featuring Carrafin week on week because they're the All-Ireland champions. And the absence of provincial and All-Ireland championships this year actually make these specifically and uniquely local, so that they don't have national crossover appeal.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I think people might have said something like that over the last couple of months, even with the, obviously, that there's no county action and the focus on clubs, and TG Carr or somewhere on a Friday, and RTE or somewhere on a Saturday, and TG Carr or somewhere else on a Sunday. I think the figures have been quite good, and I think people are just starved of something at the moment, and I still think people will want to watch that. It is uniquely local, but like if Ballymun and Nafina was on last night, I'd be watching it. It doesn't matter. That's local to people in Dublin, but I want to watch that. If Carrick McCross are playing Mahara Cloon, which they were yesterday in Monaghan, I'm going to want to watch that. I think the majority of people will.
You will, right? But what about the casual? I suppose so. A million people watch the All Ireland football and hurling finals, and they're not every week going to be sitting down to watch club games. So how do you attract them into this? How do you tell those stories and make the narratives interesting enough to capture a portion? And you're not going to get them all, but a portion of them.
Do you need to attract them, though? Like, can it not just be the club game and the elite part of the club game gets attention when it deserves to get attention? Not every club game deserves to be on television. And there have been plenty of games over the last few weeks that certainly haven't deserved to be on television. Even some of those games in the Dublin Championship, you're looking at the standard and the quality, and you compare it to other elite sport that doesn't get a huge amount of television attention. And I know there's other parts of that. But the club game is the club game. Local people go to the matches. It doesn't need to be anywhere near on a par with the county championship, with the elite level. So, yeah, fine, Ballygunner, and we'll watch the knockout stages. But most club games should just be allowed go and be for the local community. We don't need to make them something bigger than they're not.
Yeah, and just what you're saying there, like there's a hell of a lot of county games that are not in any way entertaining, and they're only interesting to the counties that are involved as well. Mm. I don't like there are lots of interest and narrative interest and stories around the country with various clubs. I do think it's nice, and I think it's important that they all get their time in the spotlight. But they don't have to, it doesn't necessarily have to have a massive big national appeal. You're talking about a million people watching the All Ireland. A million people are still going to watch the All Ireland regardless of.
So the success or failure of the split season isn't going to be dependent on the media attention on the club game in as it's been proposed at the moment, and obviously very early days, no one even has seen the actual proposal. But come August, the intercounty tap gets turned off. People go back to their clubs. Coverage will necessarily be much more diffuse. That's not that much of a concern, really, is what I'm hearing from you, Michael, in those terms, that actually it matters, but not that much.
No, I don't think it matters that much. I think it's more important that the 98% of lads and ladies that are club players are like basically being catered for. They're far happier. Clubs all around the country, there's far less gripes with players being missing and not having access to county players. I think there'd be a lot less, maybe it mightn't be a good thing media-wise, but I think there'd be a lot less negativity going around, if you know what I mean. There'd be a lot less people probably giving out about, you know, the inter-county game is around.
What do we do then?
Yeah. I know there might be a few less things to talk about, a few less things to give out about, but I think the vast majority of GA players will be an awful lot happier. I think county players will be an awful lot happier as well. I think people just want specific times where they can do this, this and this and know, okay, I'm off from here to here. And it gives them some sort of structure to their year, some probably a bit more structure to their life, I'd say, as well.
Yeah. I can totally
so does the
that.
Time of year matter then, Michael? Because this has been debated on the pay-per-view yesterday in terms of county and the rhythm of people's summer is actually having that June, July, August into September inter-county experience, meeting up with your friends and family and going to the games. And a sense that actually, well, club players want to play when the weather is good as well. Like, does it matter for club players playing in summer, or actually, as you're saying, would they just like what have junior soccer players have, where you start in September and you know till next April what Sundays you're going to be playing? You can actually have a bit of plan and structure in your life.
I tell you what, there's been a beautiful precedent set this year. I think COVID kind of set it up that, and I remember Jamie Wall tweeting about, I'd say it was mid to late June, and he said that a dangerous precedent has been set. You're giving club players the summer and they're going to get used to this and will absolutely crave this and want this. I think it's important, like counties are going to have the bulk of the championship is going to be played probably May, June and July, which generally the weather is very, very, as you'd want it for a GAA season for hurling and football. You go into July and August then, and it's probably going to start turning a bit in September towards the end of the club season. But that's still, at least they're still getting a fair shot at it. Actually, the cream will rise further to the top at the club game as well, because the conditions, don't get me wrong, I kind of enjoy it in a way, because when you're not of the quality of some others, you can bring them down to your level. But the cream will rise to the top in the summers, and I think most clubs be absolutely delighted with that. I think though, what Nathan, you were saying there about maybe September to March, I'd nearly see that as a punishment almost, that you're going all the way through Christmas with. I think people will be much happier. You're going to probably start training in probably March, early March or something, early March, early April, that sort of time. You're going to be getting ready for July, August, September, probably finish early October. Then county players and club players will all have, well, club players will have a bit more, probably have 3 or 4 months off. County players have 2 months off. And it's just, there's just way more structure to it. I think people will enjoy it more. I think you'll hear people
volunteering more.
Yeah, I think probably, yeah, yeah, to be honest with you, yeah.
I think it makes a lot of sense. Nathan, we've got to talk about Mayo because we're nearly out of time here. Andy Moran doing well enough to get back in the Mayo team?
Andy'd be in the Mayo team and squad if he wanted to be. It was Andy's decision to walk away. So I know the last time I spoke to him, he was very content with his decision to walk away. Was missing the bit of crack with the lads, but actually...
It's a five-week season.
There was no for turning. So unless there was something in that made him change his mind... He still got it in front of goal. There's a few better poachers, and he showed that when Ballyhadreen were flying at the start of the match against Brafe. Obviously, things went south for them rapidly when Keane Hanley was sent off and they lost a couple of key players to injury. Perhaps, I'd be still shocked if he decided to go back in even for a five-week spell, even with that Christmas All-Ireland on the line.
I mean, it's like anybody who retired suddenly could be at the end of the phone going, you're in form, you're playing well, you're relatively fit. Like, it's between now and we might be in the, with a chance of winning All Ireland, Michael. Surely managers are thinking, okay, I know you said you retired, but actually you didn't really. Come on.
Yeah, you know, it was put to Philip Manning, who was one of Ballygunner's best players yesterday, and he obviously walked away from Liam Cattle's squad earlier in the year, and you're just thinking, the commitment and the sacrifices that are going to have to be made are so much less. He's a nice little body of work done with his club, no more than Andy Moran has done as well, and he's in good form. There's not going to be, obviously they're going to have a big block of strength and condition and all this, and the fitness going up and the fitness levels going up, the county level are going to have to be higher, but teams don't have as much of a leg up on each other maybe as other years. So I think I'd be surprised if there's not a few minds swayed and turned and little U-turns. And as we said, I said it and Nathan would love it, I'm sure, like the All-Ireland final 6 days before Christmas. The green and red of Christmas, the green and red of Mayo. It's absolutely set up.
Oh, the graphic designers around the country are already mocking up the photographs.
The amount of viral videos of 40,000 Mayo people in McHale Park and no social distancing, we'd be getting hammered for it. Screw that, we take our chances.
All wearing Christmas jumper
and tinsel. You'd actually end up as public enemy number one despite winning the All Ireland.
Yeah. Well, that'll happen anyways. Here, a very quick one for you, just on Mayo. Michael, you mightn't have the answer, but you can have a think about this. John Casey, the former Mayo great, was tweeting yesterday that Charlestown's Aidan Higgins hadn't missed a championship panel since 1995 when he made his debut. 107 straight games, 26 years. Do you think, is that a record?
That's phenomenal, yeah. I remember at county level, Henry Shefflin hadn't missed a game since he debuted in 99 up until 2013, as in he'd started every game, which is phenomenal at county level. At club level, that's outrageous. Johnny Doyle would be a tiny bit behind him, I'd say. Probably not too far behind him with Alan Wood. But yeah, you'll get my mind working for the day. I'll try and find it for somebody else who can better that. But I'd be surprised if there is someone there.
I'd say Johnny Doyle might have been in the 97 starter. I'm not sure. Mm. And would just to stick with Mayo for a second, Andy Moore and Nathan O'Shea are going to be grand in training after Andy's little... Oh, you've killed me.
Andy's not in training. I'm sure he'll be perfectly fine. It was one of those moments you mightn't have caught fully if there was actually 10,000 people in McHale Park watching it, because you could actually hear what Andy was saying because there was nobody there. Listen, Aidan had the last laugh. He was brilliant in the second half. Aidan, as Brafey came back into it, yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Maybe a little insight into what, you know, his teammates think of him.
Well, you know, a little bit of bite, no harm. We've got to talk about the situation in Longford as well, because as it stands, the 48-week ban for Emmett O'Culloe is in place, but they're going to the DRA to try and... somehow bring some common sense to this. As it stands, Mickey Quinn and his four teammates will be banned from intercounty football for 48 weeks. Their referees can't referee anything apart from street leagues and inter-club training sessions. And nobody from senior can, from under 16 up to senior, can play GA. This is madness, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. Even like stewards, they can't steward other games or anything like that. And it all kind of stems back to Killoe were in an under 16 final earlier on this year. And there was a player sent off, I believe, for the team that they were playing in the final, St. Colum Kill, St. Francis. And he was sent off on a straight red card, which was subsequently overturned or changed to two yellow cards. So Killoe wanted an investigation brought into this or whatever, and it was ongoing, but the final was fixed, and this matter hadn't been sorted in their eyes. So they didn't show up for that county final. They were given a fine of €750, and I think it was by the 31st of July that it had to be paid. But in the midst of COVID and everything, it obviously wasn't paid. And I think they had proceeded and actually started the first round of their senior championship. And then it all kind of all reared its head. And yeah, it's getting very, very messy. You're looking at the county champions who, at the moment, they won't be able to defend their title. And I think there was a big mediation last week up in Cavan. I think Pádraic Duffy, the former Ard Comhairle, was kind of chairing it, and it was fairly hot and heavy, but nothing was sorted, and they're gone to the DRA now, which is the last resort. And it's just a very, very messy one. I believe if they'd even paid part of the fine that it would have been, they would have been able to revoke it somewhat, and they would have been able to be reinstated. But a disaster for the club. Like, if you're looking at not just the senior champions not being able to play or anything like that, but everybody in the club from under 16 upwards basically not able to have any role in anything that's going on at the moment. And people, I'm sure, having sat in their hands for 2 or 3 months during lockdown, are absolutely itching to get involved. It's one of those kind of classically GAA scenarios where you're just thinking there has to be some sort of a resolution where, like, maybe Kilo take a little rap on the knuckles and pay the fine or whatever. But their principles, I'm sure, would inspire them not to pay the fine. But they're being hit fairly hard at the moment. And if they don't get some satisfaction out of DRA, they're basically going to have to, they're going to have to take their medicine.
Could they play the under 16 final again? Would that be like a, you know, because when you think about it, this comes down to an under 16 final. They think something untoward happened where the two yellows became a red, and that was their, which, you know, these things happen. These things, we've seen hot balls. We've all seen those videos of the draws being made around the country, and like weird stuff happens in underage GAA and underage soccer around the country. Like, but to throw out those 5 players from your senior inter-county team because of a dispute for an under 16 team all the way over here, this does not make any sense, does it?
No, everyone wants it sorted, but it seems like there's been a fair few heels dug in on the Longford County Board by the looks of things, and I believe it's probably a bit more messy maybe even than we're probably giving it credit. There's an awful lot going on behind the scenes from what I believe. And it's going to be a tough one. The DRA, obviously, it's probably going to be one of these things where there's going to be a DRA meeting late on a Saturday night in a Dublin hotel, like there was back in the day. And if it's overturned, Kilo will be playing.
And Jim McConnelly magically appears.
Yeah, exactly.
So it always comes back to Mayo, doesn't it? Listen, Michael, we'll keep an eye on that. It sounds like there's going to be a brilliant 30 for 30 made about it at some point. Good to talk to you. Thanks a million.
Thanks a million, Jer. Cheers, Nathan.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.